Good morning. Welcome to our Friday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. Been talking and praying this week about a life of compassion, about understanding the compassion of God expressed towards us through Jesus, but also understanding the compassion that He calls for us to live with. Towards one another. And so each weekday morning we've talked and prayed about a different aspect of compassion and how it's made known, how it's visible, how it's put into practice. And today we're going to wrap up the broadcast part of our week talking and praying about compassion for the lost and or missing. And looking at a story, probably a familiar story to most. We typically call it the story of the prodigal son, but it's one of three stories that Jesus tells in succession about things which are lost. A lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son. And near the end of that story, we find God's compassion displayed through the compassion of the Father. Luke 15:20 says, "So he got up," that's the son, "got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." Just prior to this verse in the story, we discover that the son had come to his senses. His being missing from the family was his own doing. Being lost was something he had brought upon himself. He had wasted everything that he had been given and found himself desiring to eat the very slop that he was feeding the pigs, because he was so hungry. And in the midst of that hunger, he remembered the servants at his father's house were a lot better off than this. The lowest servant was still steps and leaps and bounds above where this son found himself. And so he determined, and I believe he was practicing the whole way home, this speech, begging for his father to make him a servant, to hire him on, so that he could be better off than the position he had found himself in, that he had created for himself. And I say all of that because sometimes we look at those who are lost and missing, and we don't have compassion. In fact, we say, well, it's their own fault. They should have known better. They made their bed, they can lie in it. And it's not that those things are necessarily untrue. They're not representative of God. All of the things that this son was saying were true. That he had brought this upon himself, that he didn't deserve to be a son. But the father would have no part of that speech. The son, he later tells the older son, the older brother of this son, he says, the son had been dead. Now he's alive. And when we look around, we ought to be able to notice many who are lost and or missing. We look around our schools, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, even our family gatherings. We're likely to see some who are lost. They perhaps have never come to know Jesus. And that's kind of the distinction I'm making right now, is that there are those that we ought to have compassion on who have never encountered Jesus in a way that he's been real in their life. But if you've been a Christian very long, if you pause long enough to think about it, you'll end up pausing longer than you wish about the number of people that are just missing. They've known Christ. They've been in fellowship and worship with you. And for whatever reasons, they've just drifted away. Now, obviously, we have those in our life who move and relocate and are worshiping God and connected, and they're not missing from God. But there are many who just find themselves missing from the church fellowship. And sometimes the cause of that missing is such a nature that we don't even like to think about it. Perhaps a disagreement or a conflict or something that was made to be bigger than what it really was. And we've just kind of parted ways. I think of Paul and Barnabas and the argument over John Mark. And the Bible says that there was such a sharp disagreement that they went their separate ways. Now, God used that and accomplished great work for the kingdom as they went their separate ways. But we discover later, and we don't really get the background of how it happened, that there was restoration. Not only between Paul and Barnabas, but later Paul will describe John Mark as being useful to him. God's desire is that we learn to care for those who are lost, to care for those who are missing. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging why they're lost or why they're missing, as long as we don't use that as an excuse to lack compassion. When we have compassion on the lost and the missing, we begin to join in their suffering for the purpose of seeing them restored. We begin to understand the hurt from their side. We're pretty good at, I don't know if we understand it, but at least recognizing the hurt from our side. We feel it. It's our pain. We struggle with it. We try to find healing for it. But it's not really a natural thing to consider how the other side might be hurt. And compassion brings us to that point of realization. Life isn't all about us. That regardless of the cause, it's not that we dismiss it, it's not that we don't deal with it. God still desires that the reasons that people are lost, the reasons that people are missing are dealt with. It's not simply finding those who are lost and embracing them. It's sharing Jesus and bringing an attitude and a mind of repentance, a restoration not just with us, but with God, a work that He does through His Spirit. And the same is true of the missing. It's not simply about bringing them back. It's about making things whole. And sometimes that wholeness is a restored fellowship And sometimes that wholeness is simply a restored relationship, even as God uses them in a different place and uses us in a different place. But the compassion is the key to us beginning to care. Not just care about those who are missing, not just care about those who are lost, but to care for them. To understand what it looks like to have a longing for them. It says the Father saw this Son from a long way off. Now, granted, he could have just coincidentally been outside and looked up and noticed, oh, that looks like my son way, way, way down there. Could have been. I tend to believe that he had a habit, a pattern of looking every day, multiple times every day, just wondering, is today the day he'll come home? Now, one of the things in this story that sometimes is hard to reconcile is the father's patient waiting until the son was ready. He could have tracked down the son and dragged him home and tried to use force to make him change. We do that at times, don't we? And then we wonder why it doesn't work. Instead, the father patiently waited until the son came to his senses. And our compassion for the lost and missing isn't necessarily going to cause us to force them into something that they are not ready for, but it's going to understand and join their suffering until they come to their senses. And then it's that compassion, it's that awareness of their suffering that leads us to say, "Welcome home." You see, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you and wants you to come home. He says, from wherever you're at, no matter how far you've wandered, no matter how close you've come, from wherever you're at, you will find me when you seek me. Oh, not just seek me. You will find me when you seek me with a whole heart. When your heart has been turned. And one of the great tools of turning hearts towards God is receiving His compassion and then sharing it. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love has shown us what compassion looks like. You've noticed our suffering and you've joined in it. And in a real way, you sent Jesus so that he could suffer not just the things that we suffer, but suffer the things that we deserve so that we don't have to suffer. Not to that extent, not to the extent of eternal separation. That's the suffering we deserve. And yet it's your compassion, it's the compassion of your son Jesus that made a way for us while we were lost, while we were missing from fellowship with you. You knew you were the only one that could make it right. So you've joined into our suffering. So that we would know not just forgiveness, not just grace and mercy, but we would know restoration. But Father, help us to not lose sight of that, to not forget that when we see those who are lost and missing, and our mind wants to blame them, to pass judgment. And Father, instead of blame and judgment, may we be filled with compassion. That regardless of why they're where they're at, we see the pain that it has brought into their life. And help us to live in such a way that the example of being your servant reminds them of what they could have, causes them to come to their senses, and Father, for every one of us, may we be involved in welcoming people home, not because we're so good at it, but because we've received compassion like no other. A compassion that's meant to not only make us whole, but a compassion that's meant to be shared so that others can be made whole. And so, God, today, as we see people and we recognize a lostness about them, an awareness that they're missing from fellowshipping with other believers, they're missing from fellowship with you. May we be moved to compassion. And Father, may our compassion help them to know your compassion, so that they would find a welcome, not just as a servant, but as a son, as a daughter, as one who belongs in your kingdom. And so, God, today, as we learn the compassion that we ought to have, oh, may we share it. And in the sharing of that towards those who are lost and missing, may we lift up Jesus so that many would be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray. This has been our Friday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.